And now, a Jeff L. essay about weeds.
Every garden looks great the first 2 weeks. The freshly tilled earth, the straight rows of tomato seedlings, the bleach white twine stretched taut between sticks. It's a beautiful sight. I especially like the way gardeners skewer empty seed packets atop the sticks at the end of the rows. Little street signs with glamour shots of mature fruit, whose images inspire the little seeds to greatness. Super veggie posters the little sprouts can draw strength from when the growing gets tough. And make no mistake about it, the growing will get tough. See, gardeners are liars of sorts. Every winter, they thumb through the seed catalogs and tell themselves that this year is going to be different, that this is the year the garden will be something the neighbors will gawk at and the garden club will put on their annual circuit. The reason I know this is because I am a gardener, and late every winter, I used to make the same earnest resolution, solemnly vow to keep my vegetables weed-free. Yes, hope springs eternal, but so do weeds. Because all that rototilling that made the earth so pretty a few weeks before was simultaneously planting the seeds of all those weeds that went unpicked last summer. And so it's not long before that pretty patch of dark loam is covered by the pox of ugly weeds. This is when reformed gardeners sally forth and hew down the enemy with sharpened hoes on the fields of May. But the war drags on into the humid heat of late June. And the weeds never stop coming. Like the cannon fodder of a totalitarian regime, they keep sprouting, keep growing. An endless column marches forth to choke out the crops. This is when the negotiations begin. The beets and the turnips are usually the first to go. We make our dirty deal with the weeds and let them carve off the first slice of our vegetarian sausage. We turn our backs and let them have their way with the root crops. We rationalize, telling ourselves that we need to conserve our energies to take care of our darling tomatoes and proper cucumbers. But it never ends there, does it? The weeds are bent on whole garden domination, and sensing our weakness, they grow strong and go to seed. A breeze blows, and soon virile seeds are falling from the sky and wheedling their way into the weedless earth beneath our beloved beefsteaks and brandywines. Some of you have seen my garden. And I admit, it's usually pretty productive, and the weeds are kept in their place most of the time. So maybe you're wondering why all this talk of ruthless weeds taking over the cultivated world. Well, I have a secret concerning their control that until now I've been reluctant and too ashamed to share. The secret that I now tell is the only thing that makes this uneasy détente possible. It's an unsavory option that allows me to go on vacation or skip a few days of hoeing without them taking over the entire garden. I'm not particularly proud of the route I've taken, but it was my only option. My secret of weed suppression is to set a big bottle of Roundup, or one of its generic equivalents, in a place near the garden where all the weeds can see it. And just so they know I mean business, I spray a little along my fence line so they can see the consequences of unrestrained expansion. I know it's shameful, but I'm convinced that without the threat of a broad-spectrum herbicide, we'd all be living in a land where our tomatoes would be shrouded in burkas, our hoes sharpened into swords, and dandelions would infest the lawn of the White House itself.
Jeff L. lives in weeds in Roanoke.